Good morning to everyone. It's good to see everybody out on this finally winter morning. This morning we're going to, my assignment this month, we're continuing in our study of Hebrews. And my assignment this month, this day, was from Hebrews 5 verses 11 through 14. And what Paul is talking about here, or the writer of the Hebrew letter, I believe it's Paul, but what he's talking about is the danger of spiritual immaturity. Hebrews 5, 11 through verse 14 says, "Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing. For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskilled in the words of righteousness, for he is a babe. The strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." They had a serious problem here in this Jerusalem church. This was the first church that was established after the day of Pentecost. And there was a serious problem here in this Jerusalem church, because something had happened that was tragic in the sense that the spiritual development of the church had been arrested, and the people had not grown to the spiritual maturity that was expected of them. So we've got Paul here in the Hebrew letter as he stands before these people and he's teaching them about Melchizedek, the high priest, and the people are looking at him with glazed over eyes, and they have absolutely no idea what the apostle Paul is talking about. And so he stops. And he said, "How can I teach you the great truths of Melchizedek, this priest king, who was representative of the Savior, so that I can explain to you the superiority of Jesus? How can I teach you about this when it's completely going over their heads and they have absolutely no idea of what he's talking about?" They were too lazy, they were childish, and they were very spiritually immature, unable to comprehend. So he said, "You have come to the point in your Christian life where you have become spiritually dull." Now we know that the reason for the Hebrew letter is to explain the superiority of the priesthood of Christ over the priesthood of Aaron, which is equal to the priesthood and superior to of Melchizedek. But now we've got these original Hebrew Christians in Jerusalem that are about to go back into Judaism and about to go back to the old law, about to go back to the law of sacrifices and the Levitical priesthood, because they have not put it all together to realize how superior Christ is. The death of Christ foreshadowed the old types and shadows of the old law, and it was the perfect atonement for sin. It replaced the old Aaronic priesthood. It replaced the old high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Very far superior, but these people could not understand it. Christ is the great high priest, and that's the lesson that Paul is trying to teach these people, but they're just simply not understanding it. He says in Hebrews 11, "We got many things to say, but you're not able to understand." The problem is the Christians in Jerusalem have not matured to the point spiritually that they're able to understand and to take on these mature spiritual teachings. And I got to admit, and Bill Bryan spoke on Melchizedek last week, I really didn't have much of an idea what it was about either. So I fall in a whole lot of the same shape that these people were. This was a wake-up lesson. This was a wake-up call. The Apostle Paul was pretty upset about this, I think. And I think it was time for a wake-up call to these Christians there in Jerusalem. Could be it's a wake-up call for us today. Let's go to Heavenly Father prayer and we'll continue to discuss this. This is a wake-up call for these Christians in Jerusalem. And I do think the Apostle Paul was a little bit frustrated with these people. I think the point he's trying to make here is just because someone has been a believer or a Christian for many years does not mean that they are mature Christians. You know, it's just kind of the reality of the thing. I've always thought about the one talent servant. There are one talent servants. It's reality. Just like there's people that's been in the church for a long time that maybe have not matured to the point that they should have. I read a little story about a teacher that had been teaching for 25 years, and when a promotion came up, The teacher applied for their promotion, but the job was given to a teacher that had 1 year experience. And the teacher was infuriated about it and went to the principal and said, "Why, after 25 years experience, did you give this job to a person that had 1 year experience?" And he said, "You have 1 year experience that you have doubled and worked on 25 times for 25 years." Which meant that even though they had been there for 25 years, they were not a 25-year experienced teachers. And you know, that may be a pretty good way to look at things sometimes, to get an understanding. Sometimes we just don't grow like we should. But the lack of spiritual growth is a very dangerous thing, because we've got to grow and mature if we're going to be pleasing unto God. There's many blessings that we learn about in Christianity that's available to those that are mature enough to realize what the blessings are. And if one remains spiritually immature as a babe and does not get to that point, then they don't understand and get to receive the blessings that others do. But I think one of the most important things about this, and this pertains to these people in Jerusalem, when you're immature, you do not have the understanding that you need and are far, far more susceptible to the wiles and to the deviousness of the devil. And that's where these people were, because they were about to give up what they had and go back to what they knew was not good. The author of the book of Hebrews found himself faced with this problem because he had a lot to say about the high priest and about the order of Melchizedek. But the spiritual immaturity of the members in Jerusalem made it impossible, because they simply couldn't understand it. So Paul breaks his entire train of thought. He's been going around teaching about Melchizedek and his priesthood, and now he gets to the 11th verse and he stops. And he said, "I've got to digress now, because we need to temporarily speak about something else before we can get back to speaking about what I wanted to speak about." You know, sometimes as we're growing up in maturity as a Christian, if we are continuing to repeat the first year over and over and over again, maybe it's time that we need to understand a little more about spiritual maturity. This could be a wake-up call for the church in 2022. Even as it was the church in about AD 90, whenever this was written. The early Christians had become dull of hearing. And Paul begins in Hebrew, the 5th chapter, in the 11th verse. He says, "Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing." Paul said you're dull of hearing. This means you're lazy, you're slow, you're sluggish, you're very much unwise. At one time, they had been very eager to hear the word of God. They had looked forward to it. They believed it. They obeyed it. They were excited about it. It was good. They enjoyed it. It was something that they jumped into. And Acts talks about these new Christians and how they pulled together so that they could be what God had wanted them to be. They were excited with the new religion. But now, this time later, it just kind of becomes something that was common, and they had heard the same things. They had kind of begun to become accustomed to the things that they heard and the teachings, and they were not conscious of anything anymore. And they had really got to the point that they were not paying attention to anything that was being taught in the church. I can give you a perfect example of that. Vicky's mother died in 1972. And several years later, when the estate was finally settled, her daddy gave a check to each one of the three kids. It wasn't a big check, but it was a check, and he said, "This is money from your mother's part of the inheritance." And Vicky took that check, and she thought about it long and hard, and she said, "I don't want to throw this away on something and never even remember what my mother did. I want to buy something that I can remember my mother." And so we went shopping, and she found a grandfather clock, a beautiful, beautiful piece of furniture. And she said, "That is what I want." So she bought the grandfather clock and had a little brass plate made in memory of Glenda Faye Bowman. That clock has been sitting in our house for 45 years, consistently marking off every 15 minutes of time, day and night, and on the top of the hour, it'll sit there and bang out the hours. It's been doing it for 45 years, and I don't even know the thing is there. I've heard it so many times, I am totally unconscious of that clock, unless I am specifically listening to it at night to hear what time it is when it bangs the hour. I don't even know that clock is there. Now, there was a time about 5 years ago when it was out of service for a couple of months while we repaired it, and I couldn't even sleep without that clock banging somewhere in my subconscious. Now, people spend the night with us, they know that clock is there. It can be very irritating. I don't even know that clock is there. And I've had it in my house for 45 years. And I think that's a pretty good example of where these people were. They'd heard the same thing over and over again for all these many years to the point that they didn't even hear it anymore. They didn't even realize what was saying. They had become mental and spiritual loafers, too lazy to make the effort and improvement. And now Paul is talking to them and he said, something has got to be done and done quick to get your mind back on spiritual things so that I can build you up because you are spiritually dead at this point. They were no responsible. Paul said, I've got things I want to teach you, but you can't even hear and understand. He said, you ought to be teachers. And he continues in the 12th verse of Hebrew. He says, For the time, you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and you are become such as have need for milk and not of strong meat. Paul said, you've had plenty of time to accept what we're teaching you and to learn what you're being taught and to build yourself up in the spiritually maturity. You ought to be spiritual enough that you can teach and be teachers in the church. And he said, you can't do it. You know, Peter said in his writing, 1 Peter 3:15, he said, our purpose is to sanctify Christ as Lord in the hearts, always being ready to make an offense to everyone and ask you an account for the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear. And Paul said, you can't do this. You can't even tell anybody what you believe and why you believe it. You can't even teach it to others to help them. He said, you're like spiritual children. You're babes. You can handle only the very simplest doctrinal matters, the rudimentary principles, the ABCs of Christianity. That's all you know. You learn that in the first year. You believed upon that, and that's where you stopped. You never grew to the spiritual, to a mature, a spiritual maturity, so that you could have the grasp that you need to learn more about the things of Christianity. And the teachings of Melchizedek were far, far superior to the ABCs of first believing. You've got to have some solid food if you're going to learn about Melchizedek. And these people were still drinking milk. They needed solid food. They needed meat and not milk. Milk, of course, is good for infants, for the babes in Christ, those that are newly into Christianity. They need the milk so that they can understand the simple things of the truth. But they need to grow and learn more and more to the point that they're able to get into the meatier parts of the gospel. But these people had not, and as a consequence of not growing, they had turned away from that they had. And now they couldn't handle even the deeper things of God and couldn't even teach others around them what they needed to teach them. And they needed to learn about the sufficiency of Christ, because had they realized the sufficiency of Christ, then they wouldn't have even desired or thought about going back into the old law. Paul said, you people need to grow up. You need some solid food. You need some meat so that you could grow up. And then he continues, and this is quite a rebuke. He said, you should be mature by now. You've been in this long enough, you ought to know what you're doing. It is past time, Paul says, that you have no excuse for yourself for this spiritual immaturity. These were some of the very first converts. These were probably some of the 3,000 that were baptized after Peter made his speech. This book, they say, was written in the 60s somewhere. The conversion, the day of Pentecost, was in the 30s, 32, 33. He said, you people have been in this long enough, you've listened to enough of it, you're old enough, you ought to know what you're doing, you ought to be mature by now. And then he continues in the 13th and the 14th verse of Hebrew 5. He said, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He said, you are so spiritually mature that you're not even able to discern what is right and wrong and what is good or evil. Now, the word babe implies a new Christian, one that is new, and that's the way we use it, and that's a good way to use it. When we first accept Christ, we're babes in Christ, and we expect to be until we learn and mature in salvation. But Paul is talking about here, you people have been in this long enough, you're not only babes and ignorant, but you're actually getting into the category of unbelievers. They were so immature that they weren't able to discern right from wrong. And they had not trained themselves so that they would know right from wrong. Christianity is supposed to change us from the inside out. Our lives are supposed to be transformed. We're never going to be perfect. We're never going to make that goal, that plateau where Jesus is. But we ought to grow more and more. We ought to mature in a spiritual way. And although we'll never be perfect, we are to strive toward that perfection. The mature person has over time practiced and exercised and taught themselves so that they're able to discern good and evil. And they can discern against what is good and what is bad. These people have become dull of hearing. And because they had become dull of hearing, they had made themselves susceptible to the false doctrines and the false teachers that even there at that time, just 30 years after the gospel was given, already false teachers and false doctrines had appeared, teaching things that were wrong. And these people, because of being dull of hearing and spiritually immature, were now falling for these doctrines that these people were teaching, these fads of religion, the emotionalism, legalism, the differences in doctrine. They've become followers of personalities instead of followers of the truth. And now, just about anything that comes to town, they're willing to jump on. They have no depth. They are emotionally gullible. And I got to thinking after I studied this and read it, I wonder if we still have that problem in our world today in 2022. And then I look at all the many denominations that's in the world, thousands and thousands of different teachings made by different people that teach different things. There's one given, and from that one, there are now thousands. And then I remember Galatians 1. And Paul said, what we have given you is true, it's perfect. And if any man or even an angel teaches you anything other than what we have taught you, let him be accursed. And I've thought all these denominations today, there's a lot of spiritual immaturity in the world today. I don't know that this is true, but I've always heard about my family back in the hills of Arkansas, that every year somebody would come in and set up a tent, and they would preach something, and all the community would come, and maybe Baptist this year, and so for the next year, everybody Baptist. And then the next year, here'd come another group, and they were Methodist. So after that, everybody was Methodist. I think for my family, the worst thing about it was the last group that was through was Seventh-day Adventist. So from that point forward, my family that Arkansas lived up in those hills were all Seventh-day Adventists. Spiritual immaturity, falling for anything that comes down the pipe. According to Ephesians 4 and verse 13 and 14, the goal that Paul had for Christians was that until we all come to the unity of the faith and by the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But that's where these people were. They were spiritually immature. They didn't understand. They were not able to discern between good and bad and right and wrong. And now they had themselves in a position that they followed anybody that came in teaching anything that they taught, being thrown around by the trickery of men and by every wind of doctrine. And Paul said, it's time for you people to grow up. The only way you're going to reach maturity spiritually is through the words of righteousness or through the Bible. And this is what these people were rejecting in this church. And they were tempted to go back into the old Mosaic law with self-righteousness and works righteousness, trusting in a law that was already dead and fulfilled, and never even stopping to think that only one person had ever fulfilled rightly the law of Moses, and that was Christ himself, which was the reason Christ was able to write the new law, which was the law of freedom, which he was trying to teach them about, and they didn't even have the spiritual maturity to understand. The writer of the New Testament tells us that we need mature, solid spiritual food. And this produces mature believers in Christ that have the ability to distinguish between good and evil and right and wrong, and then put into practices those principles of Christian life. And Paul delivered a very strong rebuke to this Hebrew church, because these Christians were spiritually sick. And these Christians were destroying themselves. And these Christians were about to go back into what they had been pulled from. Paul said, it is time for you to recommit, and it is time for you to grow. It's time for some self-examinations. So again, to myself I says, if these early Christians, just 30 years after the gospel was given, and when the apostles were there to teach them, and if they couldn't believe and mature and accept this, and they were going back because of their hardness of heart and they couldn't understand, can we do that as well? And so old Wayne got to thinking a little bit, thought maybe it might be a time for some self-examination on his part. You know, how dull of hearing am I? Am I to the point that these Christians were? My study habits are not very good, but I've been working on them the last couple of years, trying to bring them up. Don't know that I'm growing as I should. Am I drinking spiritual milk, or am I able to take on some spiritual meat? How about my ability to discern? Do I know what's right and wrong and good and bad as I should, which is something I can only learn by a diet of the Bible and teaching and understanding? Can I proclaim my faith and teach it to others? Am I distracted by involvement to the world? And that's what these people were doing. They were going back into what they knew. And this is a serious teaching. This is some serious verses here, because Paul is really giving these people a very strong rebuke, and these were Christians in the first church that was established in Jerusalem under the teaching and the tutelage of the apostles of Jesus, and they had dullness of hearing, they were spiritually immature, and they were going back into the world. So, you know, if this affects these people, I guarantee you it's in effect for us today. It's serious. We need to make some self-examinations, and we need to heed the words that Paul is speaking here. Let's conclude it now. Try and draw a circle around it. The verses 11 through 14 of Hebrew 5 refers to one thing. It refers to an insufficient diet that these people were eating. If you want to get sick, then you eat the wrong kinds of food. If you want to get well and be strong and mature, you ingest proper foods, and proper foods will lead to good health. But if the food you eat is unhealthy, or if you refuse to eat, i.e. study, then you're going to be unhealthy. Spiritually speaking, the food on which we eat and grow is the Word of God. Milk is for infants, not for mature Christians. We can come here and hear a sermon on Sunday morning, and we're going to get a dose of what the Bible teaches. And you're probably not going to starve spiritually because you only get that one. But you're going to do a whole lot better if you get three of them in the week. If we have the same problems all the time, if we commit the same sins, then we're showing that our spiritual diet is insufficient. Because right learning leads to right living. And if we don't learn right, then we're not going to live right. And if we don't grow and mature spiritually, then we can't be right. We can't overcome sin. And to remain faithful, we need a diet of meat and not a weak spiritual diet of milk. And the only way to learn this is to get the right information, and that's God's Word,
to read it and study it, ingest it, so that we will be able to mature and know what is right and wrong. Paul teaches in this passage, as he had to digress from the teaching that he was trying to give them with Melchizedek, he said, I've got to stop and do something else before we can go on. We've got to use what God provides us. We need to study. We need to learn. We need to grow spiritually. We need to mature to the point that we can understand the meat of the doctrine and not have to subsist upon the milk. Thought it was good study. Enjoyed it. Some self-examination. And it affects this old fat boy in a pretty strong way. So, if there's anything else, if anybody needs the help of the church, ask you to come forward as we say.